Would y'all turn to Philippians 2? Y'all have a Bible?
There's some over here on the table, too.
Yeah, we got some on the table. We got...
Can't ever find these tiny, tiny problems.
1839.
I'm sorry. Philippians?
Yes, Philippians 2.
1839, that's Revelations in my Bible.
Page number is going to be different, yeah. Oh, that's a big one.
Yeah. Is that the recovery one?
Yeah.
Philippians, which one?
Philippians 2, verse 12. I'm gonna read this verse for us out of, I'm reading out of NIV. Y'all there?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. All right. The reason I felt like this discussion led into this is because I think sometimes we get into this mindset and we get caught up and trying to play God in our own lives. And what I mean by that is we feel responsible for the salvation of another. We feel responsible for whether or not our salvation takes place. We feel responsible for, the way we raised our kids and taught them about God. And so I want to talk about specifically what it means to work out your salvation. It's an interesting question. And many people read that verse and can interpret it a whole bunch of ways. But the first thing that I want to share with you guys, and some of you heard me say this before, you always have to look at the context around any verse in the Bible, the context of what the author was saying, the context of the entire book that you're reading from, and then the context of the entire Bible. Okay, because the Bible never contradicts itself. So it's important to look at these things and say, is this the heart of what God's trying to communicate? Is this the heart of what Paul's trying to communicate? He said this over here, is what he's saying now contradicting that? Okay, so it's important to understand this context. Why? Because there are some things about this statement that you can take very wrong. And there are some things about the statement that we can miss that are very important in the way we walk our Christian life. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
You know, how many of us in here start to question or doubt our salvation? Anybody?
I have.
Anybody, you have? Okay.
Look at you and they heard about.
I mean, I feel like that's normal, especially when you're saved.
Even when you're
old,
you're
saved. When you're old and saved, especially more familiar you are with the different teachings of people, it's hard to stay focused on the true teaching sometimes. At least for me. There's been times.
There's times I'm like, oh man, he's really mad, you know? But then you have to, like, get to know his character and nature and prepare yourself. He's not sitting there with a big...
Sometimes we think he is, but...
Sometimes we deserve it.
Just have it with me.
You guys ever ask yourself, am I really saved? I mean, we accepted Christ, we know who Christ is, but have you ever asked yourself that question, am I really saved? Yeah.
Especially at the beginning. Yeah.
I have a feeling.
Sometimes I'll question myself, and then the other thought is like, what am I even saying? I'll think it, and then I'll go back and look, okay.
Okay.
I'll go back to the Bible and the teachings. Read that, and it does give you comfort. I mean, that's what it's there for. God's like, he's just sent me out against you. Hey, don't you get it? You belong to me.
When you ask yourself that question, in your mind, is there anything you can do to change that? Is there anything you can do to change your salvation?
No,
I can't. That's what it all boils down to. I couldn't do anything. So how can I do anything to lose it?
No matter how good you are, you can't do what God can do for you.
You guys ever have any...
That's a good point, actually. If it's easy. I can see where it's easy to get, how do I make, you start thinking, how do I do this?
Well, you think that way, and it frustrates you, because no matter how good you can be,
right,
you can't ever be that good.
That's right. That's it. You're dead on, brother. You're dead on. So that's what I want to talk about today. The first thing, and I know there's, I know that the Mormon teaching is a little different on this, and so I think it's important to bring it into, what I believe is the true doctrine, and that is, you can do nothing to earn your salvation. There's nothing you can do to earn it. Okay, you can't be good enough to be God.
It used to frustrate me when I first became a Christian, thinking that I received the same gift as everybody else, even though everybody else had been doing it since they were little bitty. And here I am at 40-something years old, accepting Jesus for the first time, and thinking, I get the same gift, I don't feel like that's fair. And for the longest time, that's how I felt.
Until you learned that you didn't do anything to earn it.
That's right, and it took me the longest time, and I used to ask and ask and ask, how come? Until I realized,
well, right,
that it wasn't about me.
Man, I never thought about
that
aspect as far as somebody feeling like.
Why do you?
Even when we're witnessing the vandalism, that's a good thing to think somebody might beat themselves down.
Yeah, see, and I did it for forever, and it used to gnaw on me all the time, and then Sandra finally said, it's not about you.
Because we're opposite ends of the spectrum. I was raised a Christian, and I became saved when I was like 10 or 11. And he became saved after we started seeing each other. And, he was brought up in a Catholic home. Sprite.
And for the longest time, being a kid growing up in the Catholic faith, you were always taught to fear God. And even if you went to church, you were always to be afraid. And
let me just use the word fear in the Bible.
And that's the thing. And you were always scared. Or at least I was always scared. So, when it came to learning about God this way and accepting God this way, it was different for me.
That's good. Well, let me explain something. In the Christian faith, salvation has never been, will never be, can never be, salvation is earned. It's completely against the Christian doctrine. It's completely against what the Bible teaches. It's completely against what Christ teaches. Okay? You will never be good enough to be Christ. Okay? It's Christ in you that sanctifies you and turns you into Christ likeness. But there's nothing you can do inside yourself to rid yourself of this disease called sin, that prevents us from our salvation, that prevents us from our relationship with God. It's something that only God was able to do through Christ on the cross. It's not anything we can earn. Many times we beat ourselves up. We just tear ourselves up because we know we've fallen short every time. We know we fall short, especially me, your pastor. I fall short. And it's because we fall short that God has given so much grace to us. Okay, and I always, I've heard people say, well, I don't know if they're really saved. I don't know if, I want to encourage you not to say that anymore. It's not up to us to recognize or determine whether or not somebody's saved. It's God alone that determines that. And it's what's in our heart that determines that. All we do is we share the message, and we pray for them, and we hope that God will work it out, that he'll work out their salvation for them.
That to me is what it meant in the Bible. It says not to judge, because that's God's job to judge if they're saved or not ours.
I'm guilty of it. I am very guilty of asking myself, well, is that person really saved? And you know what? I pray that they are, but I can't save them. Mm-hmm. All I can do is share the message of who Christ is and that he can save them. And so part of working out our salvation means to depend solely and 100% on God and our salvation, not on ourselves. And so if you're trying to earn your way, if you're trying to walk up a ladder that's going to get you closer and closer to God, you're taking a bad approach. You're beating yourself up, you're working yourself to death, and there's no reason to. All you have to do is turn your heart to God and let Him do it for you. Would you guys turn to Acts 4 for a second? Acts 4, 11 through 12.
Acts 4?
Uh-huh.
What through 11?
Acts 4, 11 through 12. And if somebody would read that, I'd really appreciate it. Okay.
This Jesus is the stone that was rejected by you, the builders, which has become the cornerstone. And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given amongst men by which we must be saved.
Thank you, sir. Shall I hear that? So it's only the name of Christ and our trust that He is the Son of God that takes us into salvation. So Paul obviously couldn't be telling us we need to do something different in our lives for our salvation. He couldn't be telling us we need to climb the ladder higher to get closer to God. He couldn't be telling us anything other than Christ is the only way to salvation. I mean, Paul preaches that all through Romans, you know, that Christ is the new covenant. You look at Romans, he talks all about, you know, the old Adam, and then Christ is the new Adam, and you know, kind of takes us through what our salvation is through Christ alone, our righteousness is through Christ alone. So he's obviously not telling us that we have to do something internally for our salvation. Okay? So what does he mean by this? The other thing to understand is this. Your salvation cannot be taken away from you. Okay? Your salvation is guaranteed. When you accept Christ and you're sincere, you are saved. That's it. All right? Now, there are folks in this world that have accepted Christ and then turned the complete opposite and denied Christ. I don't know how they can do that, but they have. They deny Him later on in life and go down a different path. Okay? I believe those people didn't really accept Christ in the first place. You know, there's this intellectual thing that we go through to try and reason in our mind who Christ is, but it's a spiritual thing. You can't reason Christ. You have to just accept Him in your heart and your spirit. Okay? If you try to put logic and reason to it, it'll get you so far. But then that's why God designed it the way He did, because there's this faith element. Without faith, we have nothing. Okay? John 6, 37 through 40 says this. And this is Jesus talking. All those the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me I will never drive away. For I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but the will of Him who sent me. And this is the will of Him who sent me, that I shall lose none of all those He has given me. That includes each one of you. But raise them up on the last day. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in Him shall have eternal life, and I will raise them up at the last day. Okay, those are words from Christ.
Eternal life sounds pretty good, doesn't it?
It does. Those are words from Christ. He says, any of those the Father has given me, I will not lose. Okay? So if you've been taught different than that, that you know, three strikes and you're out, please throw that out. It's not right. Okay, Jesus Christ Himself said, I will not lose you. You are mine. It's important.
If you focus on doing the right things because you love Jesus, it means something to Him, other than I'm trying to do right because I'm supposed to. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It means a lot more
it
to
does.
You too. I mean,
it does. All right, so we've kind of decided that we can't earn our salvation. We can't lose our salvation. So what does it really mean to work out your salvation? I started looking at this and you know, had a lot of questions about it. So the first thing, you know, that I think we need to understand is, what does it mean to work it out? When you guys hear that term, what do you think of?
When you work out, you're developing, like you're working out your body, you're developing your body.
Okay.
Doesn't mean you're going to have a another body, but it means that you're going to make your body more refined and better tuned.
Working out.
So I think your salvation, you're working it out to be a better tone, better presentation of Christ, so you can help others.
To me, all over the Bible, it says, call on God.
Mm-hmm.
And it continues to tell you to call on God for several things, regardless of your need. But in order to do that, you have to accept him first.
Right.
And not that he won't come in your hour of need, whether you've accepted him or not. It's just a matter of, it's easier to call on him once you've accepted the grace that he gives you.
Right.
You know, it makes it much easier to say, help me here. You know.
Okay. Those are both good definitions. So I really think that's exactly what Paul is talking about, by the way, is you know, developing yourself, working out, if you will, your spiritual maturity. Okay, it's working out your spiritual maturity. All of us, you know, are infants and we're newly born, obviously. And Christ said, you know, you'll be born again. You'll be born of spirit. And so just like, you know, when you're born as an infant, when your spirit is reborn, when you get the Holy Spirit, you're an infant in Christ. And now you have to mature. You have to grow spiritually. You have to work out certain things in your life to grow, to achieve the things that God has purposed for your life. Okay? So I really think what Paul is talking about here when he says work out your salvation is going to the gym. All right, it's going to the spiritual gym. It's not ignoring that aspect of your life.
Doing curls with your Bible.
There you go, brother. Bible curls. Mine's pretty light, though. So, get the recovery version. So what he is talking about is working out your life and your attitude and your mind and your spirit to become Christ-like. Now, once again, just as we have no control or no power in our salvation, it's Christ that saves us. The Holy Spirit is what sanctifies us. It builds us up and encourages us. It gives us the counsel that we need. It puts words into our heart. It gives us strength when we need strength. It confirms that we're a child of God. Okay? And so the Holy Spirit has a part to play, but so do you. So do you. Okay, we need to grow in our attitudes as part of spiritual maturity. We need to grow in our spirit, our thinking. And so I think the question that I want each of you to ask yourself today is, am I growing spiritually? Am I maturing as a Christian? Or am I being idle? Am I sitting still? Am I being stagnant? Am I still an infant? And some of you are new Christians, and that's okay. You're not expected to grow overnight. It's years and years of God working in your life. Here's the thing. I think a lot of times we become a Christian or we are a Christian and we go to church Sunday and we walk away from church and don't do anything else to exercise or grow spiritually. It takes place on 2 hours on Sunday morning. That's why I pack so much into it, because I know some of you, that's all you're going to get. I can't take responsibility for your maturity. I can take responsibility for equipping you and giving you the tools and encouraging you and loving you, but it's up to you. Okay, there's a responsibility in this maturity that you have to take. And God's not going to do it for you. You know, we depend on him so much to do everything for us. But we have to take responsibility for our growth.
You know, being a parent.
Yeah, it is. You know, even with kids, they get to a certain age and then the parents start giving them more and more responsibility so that they'll mature, right? God does that with us too. You know, he gives us responsibilities and it's up to us to do something with them. And oftentimes we neglect that. We forget about that. We put it aside and just focus on Sundays. And I'm guilty of that too sometimes, guys. You know, we all have very busy lives. I know that. I started another class this week, and I'm like, why did I do that? We all have busy lives. And it's important that we work out our salvation, that we begin to develop spiritually. You know, what Paul would do, the Apostle Paul, he would go preach the gospel, bring people to Christ, teach them for 6 months, sometimes a couple years. Then he up and leave and say, y'all are on your own. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine starting churches that way? That's what Paul did. Now, he would write letters to them. He'd send couriers off to encourage them. But Paul would do that. He would spend 6 months, sometimes the most he spent was 3 years in one time, training the church and building the church up, and then he would just up and leave.
Because good luck. At a certain point, it's,
yeah,
what are you going to do with what you've been taught.
Exactly.
And understanding that the reason God tells us all these things is for our own good. It's not like so we can earn our salvation. It's literally for our own good. The more we conform to Him, the easier things are.
That's true.
The more things don't weigh us down and overwhelm us and burden us, it's not the end of the world. The end of the world will know when it comes, but this is not. Think of how many things happen in our life when we look back. And
we made it through.
I think about like how in that moment I thought it was the end of the world. Like I thought, how are we going to get through this? Or what's going to, you know? And then I look back now and I'm like, man, sometimes if we could just, you know, see that, He really will see us through it the more. I mean, genuinely see us through everything. The more, and it's just about the more we abide in Him, the more it builds our faith to make it easier, you know? It's not.
I wonder if he puts you through some things to get you ready for the next big thing. You know?
I'm sure he does. And I'm sure sometimes we put ourselves in those things. And he uses it for his glory, right?
I tell everybody all the time, because we passed this farm, and I'd love to have a farm. But I tell Sandra all the time when we pass by it, I said, that's a lot of good decisions put together, you know? And that's kind of how your life should be. You know, you kind of get here and you're learning how to work it out. And eventually, once you get into the book and start reading, I mean, I've got everywhere, but once you get in and start figuring out how your life works, you start putting your decisions together and they get better. You know, because you didn't start out good and that's how you got here. You know, you had to come to God for a purpose. And I know I didn't start out good.
I don't think any of us.
By no means. But now that I'm here, I'm making better decisions. And she's proof.
We have to call on God, too, when we're in. And He wants us in relationship. He wants us communicating. So
right.
If it's going to take us going through these things because of our choices, He'll use that to go, okay, I'm here. Call on me. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
Because if that's the only time, and then slowly as you start learning that it's not about earning salvation, like he's saying, but about relationship, then things get.
I'm kind of slow. That's why it took me a while.
Well, I think, too, the other issue is that we all are born into a world where things work one way. Mm-hmm. When you come to know God, it's like, okay, some of those things still work, but there's this whole other way things work. And so I think going back to even the beginning of this is why people think, oh, what's my salvation or not my salvation? Right. You know, all that is because, you know, we're raised in a system where you, even if you look at schooling, mm-hmm. you know, you go to school and you press yourself in, you got to do.
Right.
You don't get your grade. You didn't do, you know what I mean? Like, that's contrary to God's ways where He's just, I'm giving this to you. Like, this is something that's available to you. You can walk in it.
Yeah.
Right. So, like, that's sometimes difficult, like, and that's why it's so important to be in the book, is to be teaching and training and in His presence. So, in turn, there is that understanding of His ways over everything else that we've known or grew up in.
Right. That's a really good point, Robert. A very good point.
Well, there you are. He gave you an A. Now you got to do is keep it.
Right.
You're
not earning your salvation. You can't do that either.
Yeah. You have to appreciate and share that
thing.
Teach other people.
Would somebody turn to 1 Peter 2 and read verse 2 through 3? 1 Peter 2, 2 through 3.
1 Peter 2, 2.
verses 2 through 3.
Okay. Like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation. Now that you have tasted that the Lord is good.
All right. So I love this verse. It talks about spiritual maturity. It talks about that we have to grow up in our salvation. Okay? Like I said, we start out as infants and you know, as Christians, and God expects us to grow. And yes, He leads us and He helps us. But you can't mature your child any more than your child can mature, you know, himself. There's a partnership in this. You know, you have to provide lessons and opportunities and boundaries for the child to grow. It's the same with a Christian. God provides opportunities, He provides boundaries, and He provides encouragement. But you as the child also have to do your part. And by doing your part, you mature. And when you don't do your part, there's discipline. And that discipline is because your parents love you.
Please, please.
And they want to see you make the right choices, okay? So, you know, Jesus called Him Heavenly Father for a reason. I mean, you know, in a sense, He's our spiritual father, obviously. God is the closest thing to the love of a father should be that we'll ever understand. And so when you've been brought up in a situation where your father is not Christ-like, you know, it tends to change our view of how we see God. God is love, number one. God is all for you. God wants to encourage you. God wants to provide you the opportunities and the means and the tools to grow in your spirit. But ultimately, you guys have to take responsibility for that. All right? I believe that, you know, as a pastor, I'm here to equip you, to prepare you, to send you out, to bring others to know who Christ is. But I can't mature you. I can't grow you. I can just provide the tools and the resources. And so, you know, I want to talk about some ways or things you can do in your pursuit of Christian growth or spiritual growth. First one, and I always start here, is prayer. Prayer. Okay. You know what, Sarah, I think you said it. It was, God wants us to communicate with Him all the time. It's not just when I'm in a heap of trouble, I'm going to reach out to God. Okay? He wants a relationship with you. It reminds me of, you know, I have several grown daughters now. And one of them I hear from when they need money. One of them I hear from when there's trouble. And the other one lives here, okay?
You
never hear from her. So, my point in this is it weakens a relationship in those situations. You can't have a strong connection with that person if that's the only time you hear from them, okay? God wants you to reach out to Him. He wants you to pray and talk to Him. Talk to Him just like He's sitting by you. You don't have to have a special formula of how you pray and talk to God, by the way. Okay, you just pour your heart out to Him, and He's there. He's going to listen. And you might be very, very surprised at how He responds sometimes.
Sometimes I mumble and stumble and ramble when I'm talking. There's no formula. People try to make it a formula. It becomes more about a thing to do than just a relationship. Right. You know, I'll say a quick prayer sometime. I'm kind of silly. I love animals, and like if God allows me to see these pretty birds in my yard singing, I'll stop and I'll say thank you for it. You know, that's just me. I don't have to need something. I don't go to my dad now because I need something. I call him because I love him, you know?
Well, and it's funny because you get up in the morning and you say, thank you because I'm healthy, you know? And I appreciate that. And I'm grateful because there were times in my life when I wasn't healthy, you know? And I get up every morning and thank God that I'm up, you know?
That's good.
And not many people do.
That's right. Yeah, we tend to put God at the corner the last part of our day, and Cindy and I have talked about this many times. You know, by the end of the day, we're wiped. I mean, Cindy's wiped, I'm wiped. And that's when we start to pray together. You know, at the end of the day, we're mumbling, we're like, thank you, God, you know. And I mean, there's no heart in that, right? It's just, It's just we're doing our thing. We're praying because we're supposed to pray, and that's the worst time you could do it.
I switch mine the first thing in the morning when I'm getting ready. You know, I'll stop and I'll just spend a little time praying over the day and the people that I know that need help, and it's a lot better than falling asleep praying at night.
Very good. Yeah. Well, I want to encourage you guys to do that. Did you have something?
Oh, same way. What I kind of had to deal with was I would kind of like, when I would like kind of talk to God, I would kind of view him as more of like this authority figure. I have to like say everything correctly. I have to like be correct in my speech. Mm-hmm. But now it's just kind of like, he's like this, my friend. So yeah. It's just like, you can talk to him like any way you want to.
Yeah.
And he doesn't care at all. So as long as you have a heart for him, he understands everything.
Awesome. You're going to be a pastor someday. That's awesome. You're absolutely right. You know, some of my closest intimate times with God is when it's just me and him. You know, there's one time where I was driving through Colorado through the mountains, and most beautiful place on earth, I think. And I had a 2.5-hour, 3-hour drive to Denver. It's when I was up for a board meeting driving back. I couldn't get cell signals in that area. So God and I had a long talk. So Jesus, come sit over here. We're going to have a little talk. And we talked the whole way there. It was as crazy as it sounds. It was quite an experience. And then there's another time for a class in spiritual maturity. We had to go in a place of isolation and spend half a day to a day in the Word and just speaking to God and praying to God. And in the midst of that, I mean, this was the coolest experience I've ever had. You know, I remember sitting there in a very quiet place on Lake Grapevine, and I asked the Lord, I said, just God, I just want to see your presence today. And what happened? A white dove, pure white dove, flew down and landed by my feet. It was the craziest thing I'd ever seen. I took pictures of it.
This is lots of gray doves. We don't hardly ever see a white dove.
But I got chills, and the whole time I was there, that dove stayed with me. Isn't that crazy?
That is
crazy. It was like, whoa, that was surreal. So, was it a circus dove? I don't know.
Circus dove. He escaped from a wedding.
But to me, that's the, like, when people, you know, get wrapped up in signs and wonders and stuff, like, to me, that's just as awesome, if not more awesome, yeah, than when people can tend to get, you know, I want to see this, or right, that is,
I want to see a big miracle.
Right.
I was just like,
you know, his presence, wow, and him reminding you of.
Yeah, well, my biggest thing when I was first getting into this was that I would want God to talk back to me. I'd want to hear it, you know, and for the longest time, I couldn't hear him when he spoke to me. And there's times I still can't, but not everybody can, you know, and it took me a long time to realize that some people have a gift to hear him every day, all the time. They talk to him, and I just don't hear it in that way, you know. But to me, reaching out to somebody else and being able to help somebody else is how I hear God, you know. And
speak to you through his word.
Yeah, I mean, he's said a lot to you right there.
Yeah,
right?
He's talking about audibly.
Yeah.
Some people hear God audibly, yeah, and he wasn't, and he thought that, yeah, God wasn't speaking to
you. I actually used to be scared when I first got saved because people would talk about audibly hearing God. I was like, please don't do that to me.
Robert Earl Jones.
I could not handle you start talking to me out loud. I will freak out. Like, please don't get like scared of that.
And for the longest time, when I first opened my Bible, I kept thinking, well, one day I'm just going to hear God talk to me, and he's going to come down like James Earl Jones and say, this is what I want from you, you know, and I was expecting to hear him, you know, and when I didn't, it was kind of heartbreaking to me, because that's how I expected to hear him, especially hearing other people talk about how they talk to God and have sessions with him where they'd speak to him and then he'd talk back to them. And, you know, having that kind of experience and hearing about it, I thought, well, maybe that's what it's supposed to be like. And then I find out later as I'm going on that maybe for me it's not supposed to be that way.
I think he does everybody
a little different.
Yeah.
And I think sometimes too, like, it'll be surprising to realize that there was ways he was speaking to you that you did even hear, that you didn't really maybe fully realize, but it was happening.
Actually, when we went to Holdenville this last time, I had agreed to get up and give a little bit of a speech. And for the whole week prior to that, I kept praying. I said, God, what do you want me to say? And for the longest time, and for the whole week prior to, he kept telling me, he gave me a couple of verses, and he said, you know, speak about this, you know, but it just didn't come out. He didn't come out and say it. He just kept leading me to, I want you to talk about this. This is what I want you to say. These are the verses that I want you to focus on when you go up and speak. And I was scared when I first got up there, but really? once I got up there, it was like,
he loves stuff.
But once I got up there, it was easy because God had already showed me what he wanted me to say.
You're like a natural, man. You just did good.
Yeah, and I think that is the way God speaks to us more often than the whole audible thing. And right. I think, I mean, I'm not putting down, I know that that does happen, mm-hmm. but I also know that I've seen plenty of people who have told me that, and then later I'm like,
I've just always imagined how cool that would be.
Well, we had a couple that was
careful about.
We had a couple go in our church when we started that every day that, you know, God would speak and they'd write notes and so I think Roy thought immediately that was a normal thing. And it's like, no.
That's, yeah, because I was just coming into it when I was hearing these stories.
Right.
God speaks to me spiritually and a lot of times through the Word. I'll read a verse and I'll give a totally new concept of that verse. Not that I have bad interpretation, it's just something that he's trying to tell me with that verse.
That's right.
And the spiritual speaking is just, I'll have a question and I'm wondering, and all of a sudden there's like a light bulb flash inside one answer. And I'll just kind of hear that voice spiritually. But it's hard to explain it to people that haven't experienced it.
It's like an internal
hearing.
Yeah, I mean, that's how God speaks to me. He puts a thought in my mind, and a lot of times I, you know, used to second guess it all the time, but I can almost always tell when it's the Lord saying something to me now. It's pretty cool. Here's a couple other things that I want to encourage you guys to do. Get involved in evangelism outreach, okay? I've said this before, not all of us are gifted evangelists, but you all have a responsibility of evangelism. All right? You guys all have a story. You know the Bible. You know what Christ has done for you. It doesn't take much to just say, does Jesus love you? Right? So I want to encourage you, as part of your maturity and part of your responsibility, to step out in faith. Get involved in some of the outreach stuff that we're doing. You know, I know you guys have busy schedules. I want to tell you something. I've got a very demanding job. I travel all the time. I spend the entire day on Saturdays preparing for Sunday, and I'm in a class. I'm in a college-level course. And I work my tail off, and I still find time to get involved where I can. Okay? And so I want to encourage you. That's part of your responsibility to get involved. The other thing, and this is really important, we're talking about the Word. If you're not in a Bible study, I encourage you to get in one or start one. It doesn't have to be elaborate. It can be two people together spending 20 minutes before work every day. It could be spending your lunchtime with somebody. But I'm talking about a Bible study that's not just you. One where you are involved with somebody else, because there's so much more that happens when two people come together to study the Word of God versus just somebody on their own. I encourage you to do individual study too. But I also say get involved in a study. If there's not one, start one. You know, ask a friend, hey, can we spend 10 minutes, you know, on Monday mornings doing a study? Or pick a book. It's really important. You know, it's... the Word of God is what feeds us on a daily basis. And God put us into community for a reason. Okay, he didn't give you your salvation and give you the Bible and send you off to be alone on an island. He brought you into a community of believers. He grafted you into the family of God. And there's a responsibility you have to others. It's not about you anymore. If you're a Christian, it's no longer about you. It's about God, and it's about those that he's put in your life to serve. And so if you have this attitude that, you know, I don't want to be around these people, I don't want to, you know, do these things, that's the wrong attitude. You got to change your thinking, because that's what God wants for your life. He's created a community for you to be part of so that you can bless somebody else. Okay? What's the verse? It's in Ecclesiastes. It says, though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. A cord of three strands is not quickly broken. Okay? Two or more people together is what community is. And it's what God created. And so we all have a misunderstanding if we're trying to be a lone wolf in this Christian walk. You'll get through it, but you'll stumble, you'll have a difficult time, and you're not living the way God called you to live. He called us into community. All right, does that mean a convent? No. All right, does it mean a cult that meets in a house? No. It's about people loving God, coming together and serving God and building community. There's strength in that. The biggest thing that people struggle with when it comes to working out their salvation is they fall down often. If there's no accountability in your life, you're going to trip all the time. Okay? And it's a discipline thing. You have to be willing to have somebody hold you accountable. I will never hold anybody accountable unless they ask me to. All right, I may speak truth in your life that you don't like, but I'm not. It's up to you to allow me to hold you accountable or somebody else. You know, I went to Celebrate Recovery for a long time and learned the importance of accountability partners. And so I've got those in my life at times. They're not as often as I'd like, but I have people I can call and say, man, I'm struggling with this. Will you help me? Will you pray for me? Will you hold me accountable in this area? And I have others that have come to me and asked me to do the same thing for them. And so if you want to mature in your Christian walk, you've got to have accountability. Okay? And I'm not talking about somebody that's going to smack you in the head every time you screw up. All right? We've all got those in our lives. We don't need any more of those, right? I'm talking about somebody that loves you and cares about you and wants to see you do your best. There's a difference.
You should be married to that person.
You should.
Well, you go on right ahead then.
and she is that for me.
Oh, really?
She really is.
I don't know if it's working.
Wow. You can be responsible.
Yep. That's the other thing.
Sometimes he'll get a little testy when he's driving. I'll say, Roy, just let it go. You got your family in the car to worry about. So, you know, it's...
And I believe that marriage does provide a level of accountability. But I think, guys, you got to have other guys in your life, strong Christian guys that are your mentor, and guys that you are mentoring. And the guys that are your mentor, allow them to speak truth in your life where you need it. You know, don't be too proud to come to these guys that have experience that can speak truth in your life. Okay, I sometimes, you know, think my dad's an idiot.
He's old.
You know, I've grown past that. But what kid has not thought their dad was an idiot? One time, you can't answer this, or neither can you.
He's got his mouth covered over there.
We've all thought our dads are idiots at times, right? Am I right, Robert? Have you ever thought?
No, never.
Never? Okay. Well, I've thought my dad was an idiot many times. What I've come to learn...
You got to do it.
Is as much of an idiot as I think he is at times, which I don't anymore. I love my dad. He's got some really good wisdom because he's lived a life. Okay, now, I wouldn't go to somebody that's not walking as a Christian to get that wisdom, because it's going to be worldly wisdom. You want godly wisdom spoken in your life. Okay, sometimes that means... there's going to be a split in your family, which is hard. Sometimes that means there's going to be friends that you have to say goodbye to.
Yep.
I've done it. I've lived it. As hard as it was, I've had to do it. Because I had friends that were speaking death into my life. And they were not giving me the type of counsel that would come from God. Okay? I encourage you guys to find that in your life. And I encourage you that have been Christians for a long time to step up and offer that to those who have not. All right? I encourage you to be the mentor that people need in your life. That need in their life. Excuse me. You guys have been, you know, some of you have been walking the Christian walk for a while, and there's people that could use you to be a mentor to them and to guide them and to be accountability. So I want to encourage you to do that. And those, and I'm speaking to you too because you're fairly new to this faith, I encourage you to allow somebody to speak truth in your life and to allow mentors in your life that will help you. They're not there to tear you down. People that are there that love you and want to see you do your best. I want God's best for you, okay? Those are the people that are going to pray for you and protect you and give you the right counsel.
And I think that's why it's important, the Bible study aspect, because there's sometimes, like, you know, I don't have an answer, but, okay, well, three of us get together, we might have an answer.
That's right.
I mean, I don't know what to do, but I'm sure we can figure something out.
Three of you and Google, you can find something, right?
I'm sure, like, but then also just, it is good, like, the communication of, okay, this is the way I'm feeling. Okay, I felt that before, but, you know, I've not been in this circumstance, so let's bring in somebody else who might, you know, because sometimes if you just have, you know, one, you know, I was able to tell Cindy when this homeless lady we were trying to help, oh my goodness, she was just, it was the first time I've ever had that type of situation happen where she was just, it was a beating. And I was just like, and I normally don't get, like, allow myself to get offended because I try to, you know, remind myself that this time I was just like, I feel like I'm just, you know, in like a war zone. And so I messaged her and she was like, well, next time you need to do this. And it was like, yeah. But I mean, those things, instead of, you know, we have to be careful about allowing pride to bubble up and not be open to this is what you're doing wrong, because the truth is, that's going to save you from, you know, because it's like, oh, phew. You know, I was like, next time I'm not doing that because then this is how it's going to flow. And so each little, having that...
knowledge from the last time.
Yeah, those things just help us and move us. They're not there to go, look at what you did wrong. It's more like,
this is
okay,
how
well, next time
that.
This is going to aid you. And so then it's like,
you know,
it makes your own self, you know, it makes things easier, not harder.
Well, sometimes it's hard to handle a situation when it just pops up in your face, you know. You don't always really have that answer to handle it correctly, you know. If you step back and think about it and have somebody else talk about it.
Especially if you've got
to do something
at the spur of the moment.
Well, that's it. I didn't know. I was like, I'm at a loss. I give up. I throw in the towel. I'm walking away.
Deep breath.
Time out. Recoup back in.
Well, we were just having a discussion before church started about how life was meant to be lived in abundance. And when you see people in that much need all the time, it should never be, you know. And it'll take a while till you get back to the point to where there is plenty for everybody. But for the time being, this is the way it has to be. I mean, this is the way it works.
Well, Jesus himself said you'll always have the poor, right?
Yeah.
You know, as long as sin's in the world, there's going to be...
There's going to be need.
Plenty is relative.
Yeah.
Right. You're absolutely right. But it's good. I'm going to wrap this up because I bet they're getting stir crazy up there. I need you all to take responsibility for certain aspects of your spiritual growth. I'm here to counsel you. Cindy's here. We're all in this together. Okay, I've said this before. I'm no different than you guys. You know, yes, I have a pastor title in the church, but it's just it's a calling for me. Each of you have a calling too in this church. God gives us each individually and uniquely, and brings us together to do amazing things as the church of God. Okay, so all of us have a role. And my challenge to you is to play your role. Okay, it's to be active, it's to be proactive. It's to step up and take initiative wherever God has called you to participate. Okay? You know, I can't add one more thing to my plate right now. And there's a lot of things that we can do as a church to show Christ to others. And so I'm asking you to step it up. I'm asking you to take some responsibility. Not that you guys don't, but I want to encourage you to do more than just Sunday. I want to encourage you to do the things that I talked about, to pray more, to get involved in Bible study, to be a mentor to somebody, to allow somebody to mentor you, to have accountability in your lives. And I'll be happy to be part of that for anybody that wants me to be. For ladies, I encourage you to get involved with ladies. For guys, guys. There's safety in that, okay? And then the other thing about this is, if you guys have a need, if you guys have a prayer that we need to send to the church, if you guys have an idea of something we can do, I would like you to take the initiative to get it up and going, okay? All of us here can spend a little time doing something.
Others can help. It's not like you're
right.
Alone.
Yeah, I'm not saying do it all by yourself. I'm just saying, you know, if you have an idea, run with it. You know, don't. I can't do it all. I can't. And so there are certain tasks that God has given each of us to perform and to do, and to work out our salvation. And I encourage you guys to do it. You know, because someday you guys that aren't mentors are going to be mentors to somebody else. Those of you that are mentors are going to continue to grow into a leadership position at some point in your life. And, you know, this the whole concept of this church is to grow leaders and send them out into the world to be ambassadors of Christ. That's the whole concept of what we're doing. It's not to fill up pews. It's not to give you a feel-good message every Sunday. It's to speak truth into your life and to grow you as a disciple. And so that's my encouragement for you, and that's what I'd like to see.
What is that verse about the testimony? I'm not good at, like, remembering.
That's okay.
Verses, but about the power of testimony or something.
Do you know what it is, Cindy?
No. Like, when we share, when we're sharing our testimony, too, we don't have to, you know, sometimes you're doing an outreach just right. By walking out the front door of your house and your neighbor and you pray with them or whatever, but sharing our testimony,
living testimony.
Too, it has power in that. You know, there's power in just sharing our testimony with somebody. So it doesn't always have to be that you come to him and are like, oh, I feel like we're supposed to do this big thing. You know, start out small. Start out just sharing, you know, praying with somebody.
Yeah, it's like I was telling Tim not too long ago. How many people actually go outside their front door and actually know their next door neighbor?
Right.
There's not a whole lot of people that do that anymore. And I'm nosy, so I know everybody.
And we found out his second or third cousin lives behind us about 6 months after we moved.
Those aren't the ones you called the cops on, are they?
No, they wanted us to call the cops. They live next to the
weird
place.
We got to go on here, and I was like, oh, what have we done?
All of our neighbors are pretty good, except, and they're good now, but
we went through our growing pains.
Yeah. Well, let me read this verse, and then I'm going to close this, and then you guys can continue talking. I want to get the kids down. Hebrews 10, 19 through 25. And I feel like, you know, this is something that God wants me to speak over this congregation. So Hebrews 10, 19 through 25, it says, therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is his body, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess. For he who promised is faithful, and let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. I believe that that was something that God was speaking to this church. You know, let's continue to do what God has called us to do. Let's continue meeting. Let's continue praying together. Let's continue studying the Word together. Let's continue being the hands and feet of Christ in the streets. Let's continue to fund international missions where we can. God has called this church to do some incredible things, and I believe that we will, but you guys have to be willing, okay? Let me close this in prayer, and we'll bring the kids down. Father God, thank you so much for your word. Thank you for your encouragement. Lord, I know each of us in this room have a role to play in your kingdom work here on earth. Father, for those that aren't clear what their role is, Lord, help them to see what that is, and help me as their pastor to help them see what that is. Lord, your word says that each one of us has been given a unique gift as we receive you in the Holy Spirit. And Father, I want each of those gifts to manifest themselves in ways that will lead others to know who you are. Father, you have provided an abundance for many of us, and we thank you for that, Lord, and we want whatever abundance you provided to help those that need it. Lord, you have blessed this church immensely with so many different ways, and we just pray that you would use those gifts and the talents in this room to serve and glorify you. Lord, I just thank you so much for this group of people. Lord, I pray that you provide for their needs, each one of them, that you would grow us all to be more Christ-like, Father, that you would teach us the discipline to take the steps that we're responsible for. Excuse me. Lord, I just pray today that your Holy Spirit would guide every foot in this room, that you would lead them, that you would provide counsel into their life, that you would provide mentors into their life. Father, you would open their hearts to be accountable, that you would open our hearts to receive your word on a daily basis, and that we would be encouraged, and that we'd be disciplined enough to speak to you on a daily basis, that we'd build a relationship with you, which is what you desire. Lord, bless these folks as they go forward this week. In Jesus' name, amen. Mm-hmm.